Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So house prices have been falling for the first time in a decade. That's according to property listings website daft.ie. And the question now is this the reason landlords are leaving the market? Or is it a continuing trend that we've seen for the past decade? With the eviction ban set to expire on Friday, what will the market look like over the coming weeks and months? Well, I'm joined now by Marion Finnegan, Managing Director with Sherry Fitzgerald Estate Agents, and Tony Foley, Emeritus Associate Professor of Economics at DCU. Marion, I'll start with you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Does this data from daft.ie, one property listings website, it has to be said, does that tally with what you're seeing in relation to landlords who are leaving the market? Could it be one of the reasons why they're leaving the market?
No, I think that both totally unrelated factors. First of all, in terms of the DAFT figures, they're showing that average asking prices in the first quarter are marginally lower than they were in the previous quarter. Certainly in terms of selling prices for homes, we're not seeing a contraction in values. What we are seeing is a slowdown in the pace of inflation. So 2 years ago, average prices in Ireland would have gone up by almost 10%. Last year, by a little bit over 5%. And this year, we think it would be somewhere around 2 or 3% at the most. And that's really driven by the interest rate environment. The landlords exiting the market are a completely different reason for that occurring. That's been occurring for about a decade now. And it coincides with a period of time where the regulation of the industry increased, where the tax implications for landlords became more restrictive. And as a result of that and a variety of other factors, landlords have gradually over the last 10 years and then with increasing pace left in very large numbers. Our own analysis says that in that 10-year period, extrapolating our own sales and bringing it up to a national level, we think about 155,000 landlords have sold their properties. Now, there has been some investment in the marketplace, but the net loss is in the order of about 80,000 investment units.
Okay, so that means that, I mean, traditionally you would expect if a landlord was selling a property that had been rented out, that in many cases that would be sold on to another landlord who was going to do exactly the same thing. Are you saying from those figures that you've just told us about that that is falling all of the time?
Yes, that isn't happening anymore. And the reason for it is when rent controls came into place, they placed a cap on what rents could be charged for existing investment properties. So if I, as a landlord, am selling, I'm probably typically selling a property that is under rent controlled and therefore not at market rental levels. It's therefore not attractive for another investor to buy that property. So all of the 155,000 in the main of those properties that we would have seen sold over the past decade would have been bought by an owner-occupier. The investors are buying either completely new properties, which is in very small numbers, or other properties that were not in the investment market already.
Now, we often hear anecdotes from people who are trying to buy a home and they're outbid by somebody who wants to buy the property and then rent it out by an investor. So is that something you're seeing?
No, not really, if I'm perfectly honest. I mean, the level of investor appetite in the market is incredibly low. So if that occurs, it occurs at a very, very unique position. It's not typical at all. So if you went back about 20, 25 years ago, investors would have been bidding against first-time buyers. That was very prevalent at the time. And there was a lot of appetite for property across all price cohorts and across all different types of purchasers. Today, the investors are very small in number, and they're typically buying a property either with their pension or perhaps for a child going to university or starting accommodation somewhere else. They're not prevalent in the marketplace at all.
Now, the DAFT figures, as I said, they're just one picture of the broader market. But what's your prediction, Marion, for property prices? Do you expect asking prices to continue to fall?
I think, no, I don't actually. I think asking prices in the first quarter of this year, there has been a sort of a change in the market in the last couple of months. So normally, if you went back 4 years ago before COVID, the opening quarter was a quiet period in the market. And then you saw quarter two when properties came on, when gardens were full with flowers, people brought their properties to the market and we saw an uptick in activity. It would get quiet in the summer during the holiday season and would come back again in September. That seasonality disappeared after COVID because you can remember we were locked out from March to June. So the spring season became the summer season in 2020. It has come back into.
Oh,
we are seeing.
Your line dropped there for a moment, Marion. So,
all right, sorry.
You expect that later in the year things will change. But the other factor here is you have the increased interest rates, which for people who are thinking about taking out a mortgage, they're not going to be able to afford as much as they would have been able to 18 months ago.
No, and that's true, of course. And the interest rates are having an impact on affordability. Now, bear in mind that the stock available for sale is very tight. So the figures we have for the opening quarter is that across the entire country, there were about 15,000 units available for sale. If you compare that to 2019 pre-COVID, it's down about 26%. So that tight supply combined with the very strong appetite there is for property should underpin prices. But affordability is an issue. So we're expecting stabilization and a modest increase in prices. So 2-3%. Rather than the higher figures we would have seen a couple of years ago.
Great, Marion. Thank you very much for joining us. Marion Finnegan there from Sherry Fitzgerald Estate Agent. Tony Foley, as I mentioned, is with us as well. What do you think, Tony, about the reasons behind landlords who are selling up at the moment?
Oh, I think it's fairly obvious. It's a very unattractive economic activity. The government has increased all sorts of regulations, rules and so on, not very favourable tax situations. So a first-year economic student would have predicted 10 years ago people would be leaving the industry. You may remember, Claire, that a long time ago we cried, as it were, and complained about the amateur landlords, the mum and dad landlords who weren't sophisticated, didn't know how to do the business, didn't look after the property properly. And we wanted instead to bring in good big companies who would have proper background, proper offices, proper staff, would deal with any maintenance issues quickly. And of course, when they started coming on the market, we didn't like them either and talked about them taking advantage of people and vulture funds and so on and so forth. So we're not really satisfied with any kind of landlord situation. Mm-hmm. If you summarise the landlord and landlady situation, there are economic disincentives, but there's also social disincentives that how many people are going to stand up at their bridge club and say, I'm a landlord, I'm a landlady. Sure, it's seen as a pariah. Listen to the opposition in the government, you get the impression that landlords were totally undesirable when they criticised the government and they talk about the poor tenants and so on, but nothing about the landlords who may have lost money, who may be accidental landlords. So it's a completely unattractive operation, except if you're doing it in it.
And yes, Tony, a conversation has been happening more and more often in recent months, certainly, as we've all been talking about the eviction ban, which suggests that it's no longer a toxic idea to suggest that there should be some sort of a tax incentive for small landlords, or that at least the playing field should be level when it comes to small landlords and institutional investors. That's no longer
It's no longer toxic, but it's a bit late. That's really closing the stable door when the horse has bolted. For example, even if the government brought in these tax concessions and so on they're talking about, who'd trust them that they'd be there the following year? What if the government changes and Sinn Féin is in government? So why would you invest in an activity that's subject to that uncertainty? And it's precisely as you point out that there's that dramatic U-turn in attitudes which makes you think that they got it wrong the first time. And of course, if they got it wrong the first time, well, then you've no confidence that they'll stick with what they're saying for the future. So we've, and again, it's understandable. Irish history is such that we don't like landlords. We want to own our own farms. We want to own our own houses and so forth. So unfortunately, it's a very unattractive business to get into. And it's a very difficult business increasingly for someone who's doing it on a small scale. Because you've got all the rules and regulations, inspections and so on. You've got basically a lot of administrative work to do. So again, for a small operation, not particularly desirable. If you think of an analogy, look at the supermarkets versus the small grocery store. The small grocery store has disappeared. The supermarkets have taken over. And it's much the same with, say, small farms and small landlords. It is simply unattractive to be in the business. And if you get out in an acceptable way, you will do so. And yeah. I think it is probably too late for tax concessions and policies to dramatically change that.
And can I ask you about what daft.ie are reporting when it comes to the asking price? And look, we say again, this is one property website and we're just looking at the asking price. But Marion Finnegan suggests that things might change as we move through the year. She said that there's a lack of supply, there's huge pent up demand and that counteracts the rising interest rates. What's your take?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with her. I think she gave an excellent summary of the situation, that it's not as rosy as house prices have started to drop, as it were. If you look at the first quarter of this year and towards the end of last year, we've had a situation of worries about the economy, fears that there was going to be an international recession, clear increases in interest rates, worries that inflation was getting deeply embedded. So, of course, they would all tend to have an effect on demand for housing. Now, we have the increased supply in 22 with 30,000 houses compared to 21 the previous year. But in terms of the demand side, huge impact in terms of negative sides. That's going to dissipate a little bit as the year goes on, because it's likely that by the time we're into the third quarter, we will be finished with interest rate increases and probably have interest rate declines. We probably have much lower rates of inflation than we're currently thinking. So that confidence on the demand side will start to emerge. One additional quarter, one problem would have been the specific tech sector, the worries about the tech sector, because people in the tech sector, particularly in the Greater Dublin area, would earn very high salaries relative to the average and so on. And they'd be very significant purchasers of new houses.
Yes.
Now, if you are still in your job, but you're hearing all these announcements and not knowing what's going to happen, it is going to pull you back a little bit in terms of going ahead and buying
property.
You're probably not
going to make a big decision right now on buying
a
property.
No, you'll wait a few months.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Tony.
Can I just say one thing before I go, Claire, that in terms of the overall housing situation, the big worry is that we increased our house numbers from 21 to 30,000 last year. But this year we're expecting to drop to 27 or so. Now, you might say that's a tiny change, but really what we should be doing is continually ramping it up. So going from 30 to 35 to 40 to 45 to meet the needs that we actually have. So that drop, even, you know, potential drop this year, is a huge negative statement as to our overall housing policy and what we need to be doing, I think, in a much more emergency speedy approach than we're tending to do at present. So the bigger problem is the longer term issue of building houses.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. Tony Foley, Emeritus Associate Professor of Economics at DCU. Now, coming up next on the programme, David Gillick will pay tribute to the Irish Paralympian Jason Smith, who has just announced his retirement from competitive running this morning. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.